afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Claster, and I'm your host for No Holds Barred. For the next hour or so, we'll be hearing a variety of satires, parodies, and bizarre interpretations of the work of William Shakespeare. We'll be hearing from Firesign Theater, Andy Griffith, Robin Williams, and the cast of the BBC radio show I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, featuring John Cleese. To start with, let's listen from the review Beyond the Fringe in 1961. Here's Alan Bennett, Jonathan Miller, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore in a piece called by critic Kenneth Tynan the only successful Shakespearean parody he had ever heard. And it's entitled, So That's the Way You Like It.
We bid you welcome to our court, fair cousin Albany, and you are sweetest Essex. Take this, my hand. And you, fair Essex, this. And with this bond, we'll cry anon and shout Jack Cock of London to the full. Approach your ears and kindly bend your conscience to my feast. Our ruddy scouts to me this happy news have brought. The naughty English, expecting now some pregnancy in our plan, have with some haughty purpose bent Aeolus unto the service of their sail. So even now, while we to the wanton lute do strut, is brutish bowling broke bent fair upon some fickle circumstance. To Gloucester, Essex. Do thee to Wessex, Exeter. Fair Albany to Somerset must seek his route, and Scroope to you to Westmoreland, where shall bold York, and rooted now for Lancaster, with forces of our uncle Rutland, enjoin his standard with sweet Norfolk's host. Fair Sussex, get thee to Warwicksbourne, and there with frowning purpose tell our plan to Bedford's tilted ear, that he shall press with most insensate speed and join his warlike effort to bold Dorset's side. I, most royally, shall now to bed to sleep off all the nonsense I've just said.
Is it botched up then, Master Puke?
Aye, it is, good Master Snot. They said our Master the Duke had contrived some naughtiness against his son, the King.
Aye. And it doth confound our merrymaking.
What say you, Master Puke? I am for Lancaster, and that's to say for good shoe leather.
Come, speak in, Master Puke, or hath the leather blocked up thy tongue?
Then, go trimmingly upon thy laces, good Puke.
Leather laces thy undoing, Grin?
Thy shall undo many a fair boot this day.
Next to our rural rebel, and with our song, enchant our king. Ding, 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 ding.
Much loveth he, and leave he drowned my poor soul. So flee we now to Pluto's realm, and in his arms shall I
wise words in mouths of fools do oft themselves belie.
Good fool, shall Essex prosper?
Aye, prosper.
So you prosper, fool?
Aye, prosper.
Maybe then methinks we'll prosper. In saying prosper, do we say to cut the knot which crafty nature hath within our bowels locked up?
So, and who comes here?
Oh, good my lord, and stop your ear, and yet prepare to hear the object here of my experience. Such news I bring as only can crack open the casket of your soul. Not 6 miles hence there grows an oak whose nutty thews engendered in the busky wood doth raise itself most impudent to mortal conscious life. So saying did they die, and dying so did say.
Oh God, this was most gravely undertaken. And under teen of this gravely answered it, why then we'll muster and to the field of battle go, and unto them our English sinew show.
Bye-bye.
Why then was this encounter nobly entertained? And so by steel shall this our contest now be buckled up. Come, sir, let's toot.
Let's toot. Good steel, thou shalt thyself in himself, thyself in bowen. Come, sir.
Ha! Ha! A hit!
No, sir, no hit or miss.
Oh.
Come, sir, and foppish in the mouth.
Art more foppy the mouth than foppy the steel. Why then? Ha! Ha! Ah! Oh, God!
Fair cousin, thou hast done me wrong.
No! Twixt gut and bladder interposed.
Oh, saucy Worcester. Dost thou lie so still?
No hath mortality her tithe collected, and Sovereign Albany to the worms his course committed. Yet weep we not, this fastian life is short. Let's on to pontefract, to sanctify our court.
The play that I want to tell you about is that Romeo and Juliet. Now, there is a real thing. It's a story about how this boy and girl was in love of one another, don't you see? It is. And everything would have been all right for them except that their daddies didn't get along. They didn't. And when the play opens, Juliet's daddy is a-throwing this big fancy dress ball, and he invited the whole town to be there, but he didn't invite none of Romeo's people to come. And his buddies learnt of it. And they put him up to slipping on a costume and slipping in at this party. And he was a spunky kind of a boy, and he done it. I think. He done it, and he got in there, and everything was a-going good, till all of a sudden this girl, Juliet, come down the stairs. And he was so struck by her that he give a soliloquy right there. He did. And it wasn't about being or not being. It was about doing or not doing. Well, the do's, they won out over the don'ts. And so what he done, he got her by the hand and started to take her out in the yard. And we'll never know what it was that there's going to do out there. We won't, because this fella Tybalt recognized Romeo for who he was and come up on him a-trying to pick a fight. But Juliet's daddy, he didn't want no bloodshed right there in his living room. He didn't, so all he done, he run Romeo off. But Romeo didn't go straight home. No, he didn't. He went out and hid in the yard till everybody left the party. And then when they had all went, he popped up and looked around. And he seen this light come on away off yonder. And he says to himself, he says, hark. He says, what light by yonder window shines? He did. And let me tell you, Juliet stepped out of her bedroom window onto this stoop. And she give a soliloquy. She did, friends, and somewhere in it, she says, Romeo, Romeo. She says, wherefore art thou, Romeo? And he popped up and says, I'm right here. I thank you. Well, as it happened, there was this great big pea vine a-growing up to where she is a-standing. And so he clumb up it. He clumb up it, and that is where they had that balcony scene. And they hadn't been there but just a few minutes till he asked her to marry him. and that shows that he was an honorable boy about it all. Well, she says when, and he's... Well, he says now, and that shows that he wasn't up there for no light courting. He wanted to get on with it. Back then, the reason everybody lived in castles was that there was so many of them to put up at night. Well, there were so many of them there that they had to keep a preacher on duty day and night. Fella Friar Lawrence was his name. And so Romeo and Juliet, they went downstairs and woke him up and told him what it was that they wanted to do, and he thought that was all right. So he married them right there. But then, don't you see, it was a question of where they was to spend the night, things being how they was and all. And Friar Lawrence told Romeo that he ought to go on home that night. And Romeo, he didn't take to it too hot. He didn't, but he did. He went on home that night, and then Romeo thought that he'd better go off and lay low till things cooled off. And while he is gone, friends, Juliet's mama took a great notion that Juliet ought to get married. And then she was in a bind. She was. Because she didn't want two husbands, because she figured that Romeo would be enough to take care of by self. And so she went back down to Friar Lawrence to see what she ought to do. And he mixed her up a drink, and she drunk it, and she fell out across the bed there, and everybody thought she is dead. And they had this big, pretty funeral, and laid her out in this family tomb and all. And before that Friar Lawrence could get word to Romeo that she wasn't really dead, some of them mean boys that lived in that town told him that she was dead. And he figured life didn't hold nothing for him. So he went out and got him this big can of lye to drink. So he went over to this tomb where it was she was laid out, and he opened the door of it, and he says, "Oh, my love, oh, my wife." He did. And he went in, and he drunk the lye and kissed her and says, "With this kiss, I die." And he fell out across to there. And he was a big boy for his age. He was. And the impact of him, a falling on her, woke her up. And she woke up, didn't know what was going on, and she looked there and seen Romeo a-laying dead. And then she figured life didn't hold nothing for her. And then she took his knife and run it into herself, and she expired. She did, friends. And the moral of it is, if you've got a boy that courts a girl that you don't like, or the other way around, if you don't want the expense of a double funeral on you, the best thing for you to do is to let them have a cheap wedding.
That was Andy Griffith with a recording, I believe, from the late 50s, from an album entitled Just for Laughs, and that was his interpretation of Romeo and Juliet. Let's turn now to a radio program from Britain entitled I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again. Many of the people from this program went on to become major lights in British comedy, most notably John Cleese, who is part of Monty Python. And this program was recorded at about the same time that Python was going on. He stayed with this group during the first couple seasons of Monty Python. The script is by Graham Garden and Bill Oddie, who went on to form a British group called The Goodies. Also featured are Tim Brooke Taylor, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bill Oddie. And here is their very, very silly rendition of The Taming of the Shrew.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we present this week's Prune Plays, The Taming of the Shrew. Thank you very much.
The scene is Padua in Italy in the early 16th century. Padua, a glorious city, much like Venice, except that it has no water in the streets. Which explains why all its gondoliers have sprained wrists. Our story begins on a beautiful Italian night. The moon is full.
Oh, I've eaten too much.
The streets are thronged with Latin lovers.
A mat.
And the air is filled with romantic, tender, loving Italian sounds of bottoms being pinched.
Hey, bring back that bottom.
Down by the riverside is a friendly old tavern, and inside it, the student's bar. Yes, the liquor is very cheap here, and in one corner, a small group of young men are drinking lustily.
Barman, give us another pint of lustily.
I'm sorry, sir, the lustily's all gone.
Come, sirs, let us raise our goblets.
Goblet, a little mouth.
Now let's raise our glass slits and take a drinklet of beer lit. And as we drink, let us sing a songlet, a serenade to every lovely Paduan maid. And I have made quite a few. Now, drink and sing. Now swallow.
But we sing only to drown our melancholy. Is it not sad that on a romantic night such as this, we are but a company of rough-hewn men? Where are the soft blue eyes, the pink cheeks, and golden hair that would add beauty to our number?
Oh, so this is where the boys are.
Easy. Easy.
The newcomer was Petruchio, a gay blade who would razor an eyebrow or two in his velvet doublet.
Doublet, a little dub.
And his plastic singlet.
A little sing.
Why not? I've got a feeling I'm falling in love with me.
He wore silken hose on his graceful little fingers and on his head a cap with a nylon-clad feather in it. Men might have called him a fop.
You're a fop!
In fact, they did. But he claimed he was the reverse.
I'm a poff.
Petruchio was a lieutenant in the Buffs, and at his side he clutched a curious old relic of the Spanish Wars, Sergeant Grimbling, his personal attaché.
Oh, he's a case.
Grimbling was ugly and bent.
No, I'm not. It's just the way I walk.
Come, Grimbling, let us join these fellows in a glass.
Oh, be a bit of a squeeze, won't it?
That's what makes it fun, you dog. Right, gentlemen. Bottoms up. But come, my hearty boys. Why so sad? Need I ask? This is a night for love. The moon is full, the streets are thronged. Come, my lusty lads, tell old Grimley I'll get through this somehow. Here, your troubles, for he is of a poetic nature, wise and deeply sensitive, him.
List then, good sire, the soft but cruel dove of loneliness is pecking at my fulsome heart, and I am leaf to satisfy my tender boyish needs by sipping sweetly of a fragrant beauty's cup, the lack of which is painful to my amorous soul.
Bit short of crumpet, eh?
Yes.
I think it's about time you lads forgot about sex and got married. Tomorrow at court, the Duke and Duchess of Padua are inviting suitors to try for the hands of their lovely daughters, Bianca and Catherine, the one they call the shrew.
Why do they call her the shrew?
Because she's got a pointy nose and little whiskers. But I jest.
You could have fooled me.
They are both passing lovely, so grab them quick before they leave it behind.
Very well, then. Tomorrow at court.
Very well, then. Tomorrow at court.
So the next day, everyone gathered at the court of the Duke and Duchess of Padua, where the dance floor shone as if it was glass, and the Duchess tripped onto it.
Oh!
Yeah, it was glass. The Duchess dropped a curtsy. And welcomed the crowd.
Welcome, crowd. As you know, I have two daughters, Bianca and Catherine, whom some do call the shrew.
The shrew.
They are both now of marriageable age and highly desirable. And for the safety of the young men, Bianca and Catherine...
The shrew.
...will be kept in these locked boxes until they can be sold. Sorry, told who their husbands are. Right, Herald, announce the first suitor.
The first suitor, all the way from France, is Le Duc d'Orléans, who owns a fortune in rubber plantations. In fact, he is known as the original Rubber Duck. is also an amateur doctor.
Obviously a quack. And the next.
Preemptively behind. There are no more, milady.
What the? Does no one wish to marry my Bianca or even my Catherine?
The shrew. The one they call the shrew.
I fear the young men are discouraged by Catherine's foul temper and by the fact that Bianca is not exactly pretty.
Not exactly pretty? Not exactly pretty? She's hideous! Very well. I shall raffle them both off as booby prizes on the tombola. Can I have the honor of ticket number?
Clickety-click, number 10.
Oh, I've got it.
Petruchio. Well, now you win a major prize.
Major who? Oh, I love a military man.
You can choose anything you like on this table here.
But there's only one of the boxes containing either Bianca or Catherine.
It's true.
And the rubber rabbit. Oh, dear, what shall I do?
Take the bunny!
Open the box! It might be Bianca, they say. She's 6'2" with rippling muscles, broad shoulders, and a face like a wrestler. Sounds like my type. I'll open the box.
Ha-ha! You have won, Catherine.
The shrew, the one they call the shrew.
Let out the shrew.
It's a real shrew.
The one they call Catherine.
Oh, if only I could have won Bianca.
Bianca? Bianca? I'd forgotten. She's still in the box. She must have suffocated to death. Bianca, knock twice if you've suffocated to death. Oh, she must be all right then. Right. Bianca will marry the owner of ticket number 11.
All the threes, number 11.
I've got it, it's mine.
And so too is Bianca, let her out.
Oh, well.
But even as she spoke, the box shuddered. The lock burst. And out came a creature with a face like Venus, round, lifeless, and pitted with craters.
My husband.
I am.
Oh, come to my loving arms.
Oh, but this is ridiculous. I could never satisfy a healthy young maiden, let alone an old bag like you. I'm past that sort of thing.
That's all right. You can go round once more.
No, but I'm far too old to take a wife.
You won't have to take me. I'll throw myself.
You can't complain, Grimling. At least she hasn't got a pointed nose and whiskers.
No, I haven't. I shaved only this morning. But soft. And cuddly. Who are you, young man?
Well, oh. I'm Petruchio, oh. the poor wretch who is condemned to waste his manly charms on a shrew.
Oh, I'm beginning to feel for you. Hold still. Petruchio, can't you see this rodent is no good for you?
But at this, Catherine,
the one they call the shrew,
was seized with a fit of terrible jealousy.
Look out, Petruchio! She's firing poison darts.
Must be a pygmy shrew. Naturally,
stranger. I'm sorry, Petruchio. I should have warned you about her terrible temper. When she gets like this, the only thing you can do is beat her.
Oh, all right. Rather delicious.
Short gasp!
Oh, you said beat, didn't you? Not eat. Oh, silly me, dearie, dear. Oh, dear, I don't know. I'm terribly sorry, Duchess. I'm afraid I've eaten your daughter. Sorry.
The girls today in society
go for classical poetry. So to win their hearts, one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all, who will start 'em simply raving, is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
Just to claim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella.
If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what a close much ado about nothing. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
With the wife of the British ambassador, try a crack out of Troilus and Cressida.
If she says she won't buy it or take it, make her take it, what's more, as you like it.
If she says your behavior is heinous,
kick her right in the Coriolanus. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. Thinkst thou, and they'll all kowtow. Of Spotkins, all kowtow.
From Cole Porter's musical Kiss Me Kate, also based on The Taming of the Shrew, that was Harry Clark and Jack Diamond with Brush Up Your Shakespeare. Now let's hear some improvised Shakespeare. This is Robin Williams, and he asked the audience for a topic which he could improvise some Shakespeare on, and they gave him the topic of Three Mile Island, and here's what he did with it.
Entertain a time when all is simply strange, and yet radiation causes chromosomes to rearrange. My father worked at your atomic plant, Hinder, and sends me forth with my arms thus withered, but yet I am not afraid. I am merely here to lay forth my words and let you still upon them and think. Fear not. If I see my words fall out in pieces, they land upon the ground like simple feces. Know not who I am. I come before to entertain a play about yon vexing plant hither that sends out forth and glows at night and brings forth things, but yet you care not. You sit in front of your TVs and your balls do glow in the dark. Mind not my words. Let the play say the thing. I'll get back forth and touch myself anon.
Hey, who was that ugly sucker that came hence? Tis a strange and vile night, I. Tis strange to be so loaded and yet work the night shift. Why? The plant doth glow in the night like a huge acne zit. Why?
Hark, look! The ghost of Einstein comes hither!
What are you doing with my formula? I gave you simply E equals MC squared, you meshuggah.
I merely allowed you an idea to explore the universe. Instead, you make money and do this anon.
I am truly loaded now.
Events are truly strange. Look, the stream that comes from the plant. What news? A three-headed fish. No big deal. And yet the newspapers say it is a minimum warning. It is a vile and strange thing. And look, the town is on fire. There be no vexation for me here. I shall ask my father. He shall know anon. Father, I knock upon thy door. Tis I who spawn from thy loins, who comes hither to tell you, look, the whole town is covered in radiation. Know ye not? No, son, nothing's wrong. Look at the news. The president wouldn't walk into that plan if things were awry. Father, the president has the brains of a pissant, my lord. Nay, I will wander, ask my mother, mother, anon. Aye, it is your son, Oedipus Schmedibus, I come to talk to you. What news, my dear gentle mother?
Oh, Tommy. I can't hear you, I've got the blow dryer on. Give me another Valium.
No, Mama.
She will sit anon and watch Lucy melt into the sky. It is strange. No one knows. It is a vile interposed thing. I must get me hence. There. Nature? Money. No.
Nature. Take the money.
Nature.
Money. The money or nature?
Nature. Money.
Money can't buy. Money could.
No! I must consult the gods of the gods of utility. They shall tell me what to do. Oh, ye PG&E, I've... What? I'll hold. There is no help for me hither. 'Tis a vile question I must interpose twixt myself. I know my course is resolved. I know what one to do. It is strange, but yet I must. I shall go to the plant and pull the rods and yet defuse so we have not meltdown and will not speak Chinese anon. Strange could be a good idea for a cinema, but yet I know not. I shall wander hence to the plant. I sneak anon. There, past yon security guards. They have passed out anon. I am hither. I am finally in the room of radiation.
Ah! Oh, no, too late. I have gotten too close to the reactor, but there's no price to pay. I little reason like things. I pull the cords anon. Ah, too late, a chain reaction. Where is thy mother? I were dancing at 54. I would not be... Ah!
Dorothy, wake up.
Robin Williams. Now let's turn to probably the most ambitious of these pieces that we'll hear today. This is the Firesign Theater. We're not going to be able to hear all of it. It's a full-length record. It's both sides, and it's entitled The Firesign Theater Presents Shakespeare's Lost Comedy. And it's pretty much what it sounds like. They try to recreate an entire Shakespearean comedy with, of course, some wonderful contemporary references thrown in. And here's about as much of it as we'll have time for. I would apologize for you missing how it turns out, but I've been unable to make heads or tails out of it as far as the plot is concerned. But maybe you'd have better luck than I do. If this was the sort of station that had contests, it might be fun to give a prize to the person that does the best job of synopsizing this plot. But anyhow, here's as much as we have time for of Firesign Theater's Shakespeare's Lost Comedy.
Cooking cousin, stout the pate, boil the oil and bait the meat.
I've deep fried fowl a bucket load.
This fowl is fair.
It's laced with talent.
Add spleen of banker, hand of cop, tongue of lawyer, dearly bought.
Wing of condor, whoop of crane, dolphin's throat and sprung whale brain.
Oh, must say, then boil like lava, whilst we take five for Mocha Java.
Compto ze brasa, sluggabed, keep up. Thy pace snail data like to strife me mad. These hags to open it not much after dawn. Lord Michelin rides the vision in their pot go stale by 10.
But Bishop, brother, you've dragged me drugged from my dream-drenched couch ere morphine's fingers loose their loving grasp. And all for what? To feed me fancies from a gypsy's stew. Better we should lay a bed and pray.
Stay sweet and low, my dulcy bro. Our kingless country perched on civil war demands us legate here to pagan heath and lend an ear to mouths of prophecy.
Aye, O bane of phlegm, noble regent, weighty count!
You fane of grudge, keeper of our polluted air!
Hail, canny count, that after death shall rise a king!
What? Hateful hags, no hail for me?
Now I offer thee, for thou shalt never reign.
Thy bishopric is circumscribed.
Thy cocky plans fall short. Thou'lt ne'er be satisfied.
Let's withdraw. These great conundrums fit me not.
Come, come. Hast lost thy appetite for prophecy? I'll gaze upon this devil's barbecue. We'll gnaw the bones and let them read the runes.
Oh, but that King Bernardo lied a stiff.
And yet no prince since vested on his throne.
If there's no royal head to mint pon coin,
thou needs must send to Spain and beg a loan.
So grasp the moment and the prince.
And ship the potted earling off to scope.
Let Greybeard mount the throne and scepter wield.
Lest Hemlin's court be ruling. Boy, a fool!
Speak they of me? Their metaphors are mixed and thick as gruel.
Perhaps, good brot, both pottage and the burp rites will be thine.
If that be so, then Dare I move eschew of fate? Were I the smallest wren, I would not fly from foddering my feathered babes. Doth not the ermine weasel knows his own hole first? Did not the legendary pachyderm, that loyal parent, push on and on his onyx eggs to Babylon and back? Doth not the queenly spider seize and eat her mate? Queenless be and sweetly wax as king. But hold, they say to rule I die. If so, I'll spook Prince Edmund off to Norway. That's the royal thing.
Split yet? Stand ye, Pat! All odds above! Shuffling fate cuts not this deck! Come, Jax, lay down your hands and pull! Pull to the straight! By Zeus, we'll not be Neptune's guest tonight! Come, yar!
Yar!
Yar! Yar!
What brouhaha? What hap, sweet chaps? The rocking boat hath rolled you out of bed, I fear! Come, Dirk! Come, Kink! Come, first mates, back! Or tie me to the mast face front, ere I in this gale storm be lost. Hi-ho, good Signor Happenstance. What drives thee upon the poop this dreadful day?
My stomach's gone off course again, I fear.
What? Like thee not the smoking fouled stew? Tobacco and turkey, two New World wonders, those.
Now, strangely met, that red-necked duck was never meant to sail a beel.
Look out below!
See, now it sails. Come back below, oh bilious happenstance, oh hallowed happenstance.
Now hallowed happenstance.
Hello, hello, where's everyone? Ah, storm and drain. I've sunk the captain with my sack and told but half my tale. 'Twas thus I left it off. All the shores were gliss and gloomy, broad-leaved land of mighty Roytan. Little white owl drew her to me, Indians watching, wooden deadpan. Whoa, whoa!
Oh, see how our master Edmund is near drowned in drink.
Thy green retreat hath spoiled his anecdote of victory o'er the hapless Iroquois.
Full 20 times I've heard him pick that bloody nose at fight and win. Thanksgiving we should get, for from that feathered horde we plucked him hence.
I would this mission done, and we were docked on Flemland's wealthy banks, and I at home in bed.
You'll sleep in bed with Ned, when our explosive charge is safe delivered to the bishop's churches.
Hush, look out, he comes anon.
Spirits toughened by Death's masters, left eye white owl, Christian Muriel, instead of siring New World bastards, gave my head to schemes imperial.
Oh, bravo, sir, bravo.
It's nuts. What's happened to our righteous speed? Who slipped the shrouds and loosed the hempen jute? Hath courage run aground?
But twice, noble sire, I fear a storm is blowing up our aft.
What gushing storm and drain of Blancmange face? Must warlike virtue gel before this quaking gale? What pudding-livered custard trifles with our holy junket home to phlegm?
Bring not up food, my prince, or I shall follow suit toot sweet upon thy suit, I fear.
Oh, perjured happenstance, this freakish wind will blow us not but good. Saw not the mast, cut not the wind, nor throw those barrels o'er.
Those barrels? Oh, our servants lie within those casks. Good fellows.
Oh. A storm!
A cloud!
Give up!
To forecastle go ye down! Go down, not down nor out, but home to
turgid phlegm, where Nuncle Bishop prays and pays for my return. Ah, 5 golden crowns for each of thee who stays. Yet only one for me. Just one.
But what?
One is enough when it's the holy crown. Our revered hat. Our homely downturned ball, all rimmed with ancient fur and flushed with pride. Our country's awful lid, its sacred pot. I'd set that privy throne upon my head, though nature forced me circumgate the globe. Sit out this storm, nay, lay on sheets, then crack, crack cheeks, and break, wind, loudly break. Bend backs and buttocks, boys, 'twill be a piece of cake.
No!
Ain't so grand, Ben Boys Band. Put my flanks at least is on dry land, Ben Boys Band.
Oh, that's all. Oh, Edmond!
Oh, it's balls! Tis King Bernardo's ghost again! Evacuate until the morning mist on happy sheet!
Edmond, my bonny lad!
Come not so close, old spirit cold, or I'll shred thy shift with me lancelot bold!
Hold off for more! What be thy name, ye rusty clod?
A Pete of Pike, dead sire. A Pike's Pete, a simple man.
Then gae the simple, stupid way ye bade. Though we be King Bernardo yet, we shall relieve thee of thy watch.
Me watch?
Saint Mickey's hands, he took me watch.
That's no relief to me. So unrelieved, I must relieve myself upon yon mossy rampart wall and write in steaming streams Bernardus Rex and dot the I for king. Had I but water left in time, I'd fill a moat twixt dreadful wraith and me.
Oh, I am afraid and fear!
Put up thy piddling pike, you fool. That shade beneath the winding sheet was I, and I'm Sir Andrew Lunch, the same as e'er. Thy rascally relief and faithful battle mate.
My battle mate, you mean?
Your counterfeit fire put me pants afloat. It's only right you fill him up again.
Fear not, wet Peter, for thee I've brought honest spirits in the drunkard's sack. Here's breakfast toast enough for both of us. Come, fill thy winkling tiny cup.
Odds tonsils, we'll meet the dawn with peckers up.
Oh, what's that?
'Tis truly King Bernardo, come at dawn. See where he stands upon yon battlements.
He seems to float with no more substance than me breath. Slip thee to Buttery Down and fetch the prince.
I go. We'll meet again. I hope.
'Tis surely he sports the sacred hat upon his shroud.
Eternal sleeps its voice clip on my face these clammy nights. Once more I walk these slippery, withering heights in aimless, mindless searching for a man with blunted aim and motley tights.
Me.
But, sweet my lord, I have.
No, sweet Maria, I'm speaking to these soldiers here.
Mark, it seems to float like oil upon the sea.
I'll be not gulled. Hand me my sword flask, man.
What use is sober steel against a ghost, my prince?
A ghost?
It hops up King Bernardo's crumbling tower, my lord.
The goats?
The ghost, sweet prince.
Methought they spoke of goats upon the battlements.
Nay, ghost, my lord.
Well, be he ghost or goat, or ghost of goat or both, our spirits need to goad my spirits on.
Yeah.
see, the spook will speak with thee.
He perches there upon the tower's tipply top.
I'm here, deceased parent.
Thou poor unfocused prince, give thee anon to Norway.
Back to school? I learned there all I could and burned it down. I doubt they'll have me back.
To Norway go, where nights like day are followed fast by days of endless night, and books and Viking dames quaff unworthy.
Go not, sweet virgin prince. This thy father's fernal shade leads thee up to hell.
If that be hell, I'll toot and snort at fate. As a tiny tot, my mother told me not to cross the moat. But then the monk, he did bespeak me, cast the moat from mine own eyes. And so confused, I crossed mine eyes and double-crossed the monk who fell into the moat. Are we not men?
Not I, my lord.
Yes, if we fall down, can we not rise again? Hot-headed, flushed with blood, we'll not take it lying down. We'll stand it up and get it any way we can. My dear dead dad, I'll abdicate the crown, my coronation skip, and leave at once to be your midnight son. But first, let me embrace thee.
Stay back.
I'll clamber up to hug thy clammy draperies. I'll race to ruin. I'll bite thy wan and waxen lips and draw refreshing nectar from thy hollow kiss.
Stay, don't come. I need spots.
And so he does.
And slipping shows his knees, revealing blue and goosely flesh.
Stay, royal parent.
Edmund reaches out, yet touches nay but ale.
He's gone.
Tis done.
This way, tis done. He's gone.
He's fallen to the sea.
Follow not, Prince Edmund, lest a ghost ye be.
King Bernardo walks again and bids me leave. What does this mean? Come, men, and you, Marie. Bring on the nuts and ales and meat. We'll speak of this anon.
And on and on and on.
But first, let's eat.
Children, my pretty little fries, you, Hake, and Shad, your brothers help to draw the weighty oyster nets, and silent be, for noise and noise each love-crossed double valve or mollusk in his briny simpering doze. Go, Winkle, and fair Cockle, help thy mum, the labouring queen of this our fishy fief, to cure the crabs and ground the glowing eel. Limpet, hang codpiece and perch belt side beside, that they may dry from last night's stormy pour. I will walk here, a monarch on this pearly strand, and comb for bounty of the exhausted hurricane. As I be desperate o'er this little bay, I'll tax the sea that spends all night upon the shore, tithe the tide, and take percentage of the typhoon's toll. A trunk of ruby wood, wind-ripped from far off Philippine maps. Or graceful amphora filled full of ancient Greece. Or even find a rich tooled wallet, gilt anchor of drowned and bloated Turk. What's this? A heap of ebboned kelp? It lives! Art Ethiop, or tarry babe from story Remus Briar Patch Shores?
What? Fool! Old foul-smelling fish! Did I survive the winter tempest's tale to be bombasted by this bully-basic bard? Give aid! I am thy rightful king!
Oh, nay, pitchy Jonah, I be Fisher King. Thou'rt not nothing but a king of fish. Unlike the unicorn narwhal, who keeps his oil within his bladder trapped, thy oil is all without upon thy face and limbs.
Back off, buffoon. Oh. I'll wipe myself, then staggering, stand up while I do't. This oil I wear is mine and mine alone. I'd carry back from New Virginia's tideland pools 400 barrels worth. Now all
All lost. The new world's power sunk useless to the bottom of the sea.
Nay, 'tis not. Christ-like it rises as you speak. Upon me soul, 'tis upon the bottom of me boot. It's here and there. It's all o'er everywhere.
Good news is this, old flat-faced one-eyed man. We'll strain it from the sand and thus refine, find purpose in its several qualities. Go, Blowfish, go. Run up to Castle Flem and puff this message in the bishop's privy ear. Double E hath from the sea emerged, and R would be.
B. Oh, oh, slip me a fin and swift I'll pass it on.
Then, shark, take thou this golden crown from out my mouth, but throw it to my nuncle bishop first. I faint.
As you go, I'm gone.
All oiled thus I'll slip upon his wife while he's away. A shipwrecked wreck, twixt heaving bosom safe I'll lay.
Clothing be the skin of kings. Dress on, Cardent. Give me excess of them, dear Chevrolet.
Oui, oui, monseigneur.
We must be overhung with silks, that habiled so, no peasant rebel's fork in revolution raised shall touch our naked self. I dearly love these furried robes, Pierre.
It is a bas deal at twice the cost, your majesty.
Oh, call us not king of Flem until his majesty the sun shall rise with us tomorrow morn and crown us one with him. Hold the mirror so, good Fangboner.
I will, without reflection, nobly.
Hey, nanny nankal.
Hey.
Is it not true, as Pope doth poop in woods, that Sun King's reign can clouded and eclipsed be by hidden sun?
Nay, fool. And fool thou art. 'Tis known that bears and moons do eat the sun.
I speak of midnight suns.
That sun hath set. His sails for Norseland on the coming tide.
And like the tide, young Edmund ebbs and flows.
This flapping fustian fool ill suits thee, Lee.
And like our coronation gown, it slips on like a thin French glove. Excusez-moi, but dress we to the left or right?
Why, Froggy, he knows not, for lackeys dress him, and he has no lack of them, I fang butter.
Pestio, be still, loyal. Fangboner, you are my first in court. Thou soon wilt a chamberlain be, and standing tall, will stretch to dunk the holy hoop upon our kingly dome.
My lord, I hope it will rebound well for me.
Coach him not, he'll dribble out rewards to all.
I fear no foul fool. I know I'll get my shot.
Oh, how the full court presses me. 'Twill be my sudden death.
Pardon, mon liege, but should the stoats not rampant be? Nah. These civet cats lie down upon your sleeves?
Tis all set forth upon the scroll of arms that's stuffed within our sacred hat. Go fetch the bishop, Pestio, and bid him pull the ancient parchment out that we might see the order of our sent to power.
I'd see toot, sire, but him you send me seek, I seem to see, and sire, hide him, someone unforeseen.
What?
And yet, I speak so fast I know not what I mean.
Good evening, brother Regent. Let me apprise thee of this washed-up prize.
Sire?
What half-baked wretch is this, sir?
Stands here before thee Edmund, our late brother King Bernardo's bastard babe, whom out of kindness we did in his schwaddling place upon a plank and pushed to sea.
I well remember.
Tender trade winds blew him west to Indica, isle of fire-skinned, smoke-digesting cannibals.
Well-guarded welcome, double Edmund.
Good health to you on this your final day of regency, I mean. Now, once you sent me hence with but a baby's string of beads, now the favor I return with precious gifts like these.
A tiny cedar chest emblazoned with a savage maiden's face.
The gifts within.
These
stinking leaves?
The wild men of Indica ignite them in their mouths and suck them for a spell.
Ivor sulfur for a light.
And whilst thou takest thy toke, I'll lay upon thee my second gift, the greatest one of all, a lay entitled Roytan, Injun King's Revenge, by me, who king shall never be.
Lay on, nephew, lay on.
All the shores were glitched and gloomy, broad-leafed land of mighty Roytan. Little white owl drew her to me, Injuns watching.
A light! A light! My beard's aflame!
Forgive me, sir. The camp is young like me and went off premature.
A pistol!
I'll quench thy face, white knight, ere thee be blackamoor!
Away all! Fool, lead me from the room. I'll ne'er again trust gift from geeks that in the night go boom!
Oh. And that'll wrap up No Holds Barred, this special look at various parodies of Shakespeare. That was the last piece we heard was the first half of Shakespeare's Lost Comedy, as written and performed by Fireside Theater. If you enjoy it, it's currently available on Rhino Records. Let's see, and before that we heard Robin Williams with A Meltdowner's Nightmare, and we also heard Brush Up Your Shakespeare from Kiss Me Kate, Romeo and Juliet from Andy Griffith, The Taming of the Shrew from the cast of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, and we started out with So That's the Way You Like It, from the cast of Beyond the Fringe. Hope you enjoyed this. If you enjoy comedy, you may enjoy my program of comedy, which is heard every Friday night here on KCOW, entitled Funny Stuff, which is heard Friday nights at 7:30. I hope to see you then. Until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, hoping you enjoyed this, and reminding you to always keep your sense of humor well exercised, because thou never knowest when thou mightst need it. Good afternoon, everybody.